Good morning. Well, a few of you are here. Anyway, I want to welcome everyone. We have a number of guests here today, and we're glad that you've chosen to come and be with us, worship with us here at Point Loma. We're small but mighty. By the way, you know, I don't know if any of you have a chance to come by here during the week, but, you know, God has built a wonderful city. A community, I guess, here in Point Loma, right here on this piece of property. This is God's land, isn't it? And we've dedicated it to Him and to the use of spreading the good news and just sharing it with our community. And I've told you before, but I'll remind you again, that on any given day, at least during the summer especially, we can have anywhere from 200 to 300 kids. That's a lot of kids running around on summer in the summer camp. And doing all kinds of cool activities. And then we also have our steady group of YMCA individuals, who club members who come and exercise and do various routines and activities in the gymnasium. And then, of course, our preschool. A wonderful group. Just a sweet bunch of kids that are here bright early in the morning, weeping and crying because their parents are leaving them. No, actually, I've observed that they actually enjoy getting out of the car and running into their class. So there's a lot of happy campers here all week long. I love it. And then, of course, on Sabbath, we gather together as God's family here on the Sabbath day. And then Sunday, Calvary Chapel also uses God's piece of property here and shares the good news of salvation. So God is good, isn't He? All the time, all the time. And it is wonderful to be a part of His family and to be a part of building God's city, God's kingdom. You know, the passage of scripture that Lexi read. By the way, Lexi, welcome back. Did you have fun at camp?
Yes.
Good. Those of you that don't know Lexi, she went to camp every summer for I don't know how many years as a camper. 8 years? Wow. Praise the Lord. And then this last year she decided that she wanted to be a counselor, and they picked her out of hundreds of young people that also wanted to work at camp. And for doing that, they were very, very fortunate. Got a very talented young lady, and we're glad that God used you there. And hopefully we can maybe have you share that sometime, okay? That'd be great. Good to have Pam back too, Pam. Good to have you all here. Back to our passage here. I'm lingering. I'm sticking with this passage of Scripture in Isaiah. We talked about a little bit about it last week. And as I was studying and as I was praying this week, I decided I wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay in this particular passage, because there is so much there that we can hang our lives on. You know, there's an old spiritual that has the words, you probably have heard it many a time, I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger, a passing through this world of darkness, woe. I've heard it sung both ways. But anyways, this world of woe. How's your world this morning? Most of you have smiles, but you're living in San Diego, so, you know, what can you say? But the fact is, we don't have to go far. In fact, it's at our very fingertips now, on our iPhones and our iPads and our computers and whatever else gadgetry you have. This technology can remind us that we do live in a world where there is heartbreak, where there is difficulty and hardship, and there are many woes. Well, you know, as Christians, we can woe all we want, but we've been forewarned, even by Jesus Himself, right? He said that before He was to return, that the world, okay, he has a whole list there in Matthew, a whole list of events that would take place. Now, these events have been taking place ever since Jesus ascended back into heaven. In fact, if you look at the list that He has there in Matthew, you will discover that almost every single item, whether it's wars and famines and you know, pestilences and earthquakes, and the list goes on. You, if you're a student of history, you will discover that every single generation has experienced pretty much all of those things. And in fact, if you go back to B.C., before Christ, you'll discover that the same thing is true. This old planet is just cracking apart. In fact, the book of Genesis refers to the great splitting, the great cracking of the earth. And there are theories, and scientists have theories on what that was all about. Some big earthquake. Well, we know, living in California, that earthquakes are something quite regular. In fact, one of my relatives emailed me the other day and said, "Hey, did you guys have that big earthquake down there?" And I said, "What earthquake?" I don't remember which day it was. It was in the Loma Linda sort of area up in the desert, higher desert actually. It was a 3.5. And I said, "Listen, I only feel 4.5s. And all I do is wake up, open my eyes, close my eyes, and go back to sleep." Because we have them so frequently that a 3.5, I don't even feel. I go like, "Is the dog scratching fleas, or what's the shaking about?" You know, it doesn't get my attention. The fact of the matter is, folks, if you're a student of history and a student of the Word of God, we know that when Adam and Eve chose, and that's the key word, chose to turn their attention from God, when they chose to follow their own desires, that the earth began to shake and tremble and crack and fall apart. You see, we've been talking for the past few months about this whole concept of choosing. It is so vital and so important. It's so easy for us to go through life either making the wrong choices or just kind of going with the flow and not making any choices. A lot of us, I had somebody say to me the other day, "Well, you know, I don't really have much choice in my life. I just kind of go with the flow." I'm going, "Whoo, that's scary, because we know which way the flow is going. You know, it's certainly not going upwards, it's going downwards." We have to make conscious choices. Now, I'm just going to review and refresh your memory a little bit in case you've forgotten. We talked about the prefrontal lobe. Okay, that's where you receive all kinds of information. That's where you're stimulated by what you see, hear, taste, smell, touch, whatever. It goes into the prefrontal lobe, and in the prefrontal lobe, you make decisions. And you make decisions, and then you send that information or whatever decision you've made down to the ganglia. And the ganglia then sends all these electrical impulses and all these things to your nervous system and makes your muscles work, and makes your muscles contract or whatever expand, so that you can walk, so that you can hold things, so you can reach out to things. Somewhere in between that prefrontal lobe and the ganglia, because by the way, we know that the body can do things automatically without even thinking about it. How many of you had to think really, really hard to walk this morning? Now, some of you might have to. The older I get, the more I have to think about where my feet are. Especially when I have two little dogs that are running around. It's like, "You guys are going to kill me one of these days." But to not think, to not make daily choices, I believe, is to simply not exist. You see, the trees and the flowers, they grow. And they grow because they are watered. They grow because they are nurtured. They grow and they automatically do these things. We as human beings, though, were given the ability to choose, to make a choice. It's called the free will. You have it, and I have it. Regardless of what direction your life is going this morning, regardless of how disappointed you might be, regardless of how depressed you might be or sad you might feel, you have a choice. And that choice can be the difference between having a life that's connected with Jesus Christ or a life that just sort of runs free. Just sort of runs free. Now, as you know, I have this little Havanese. I call him the little Cuban. Well, he's from Cuba. But this little dog, he's a puppy. Well, he's a year old now. But he still acts like a puppy. And he will do anything to get out of the house. He has an ability to slither past your leg so fast and so quick that, you know, next thing you know, you're running around the neighborhood. He doesn't just stop running. He literally runs from one house to the next, and he goes to the front door and barks, and then he runs to the next house and barks. And so all my neighbors just absolutely love him. Ha ha. But to try to catch him, now I have another dog, and she's 3 years old. And that's Emily, and you've all seen Emily. I've brought Emily here before. Emily has finally learned when I say stay, she stays. When I say come with a hand motion, she comes. She's finally learned. And I pray for the day when Javi learns that too. The thing of it is, folks, when we choose Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He becomes the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. The Bible refers to Him as the good shepherd. He is the one who calls us. And He says, come unto Me. I stand at your door and I knock. And we choose then to follow. We choose then to come into His presence. We listen to His voice. He said, the sheep, I am the shepherd, and the sheep know My voice. Do you know God's voice? Remember, we've talked about that over the past few months. Jesus, when He left, He gave us the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going back to My Father, but I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. We should make that one of the top priorities in our Christian walk, is to listen to the Holy Spirit. So make it too much static. It's on. Hill. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So looking at our text here, knowing that we have a choice, knowing that God wants to come and dwell with us. Remember, he asked the children of Israel, he said the very same thing to the children of Israel. He says, I want to dwell in your midst. I want to be in your midst. I will come and dwell with you. You will be My people and I will be your God. And that covenant was repeated over and over and over again. He's making that same call for us today. Okay? He says, I want to come and dwell. Take a look at our passage here in Isaiah. Isaiah the... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Psalms. I need to get to Isaiah. If you have your bulletin, you can just look at the bulletin there. Isaiah 26, 1 through verse 6. At that time, this song will be sung in the country of Judah. And what we can do is apply that to today. It can be sung in the country of Point Loma, or the town of Point Loma. I want you to read this carefully. We have, that's you and me, that's we. We have a strong city. And what is the name of that city? Huh? Salvation City. Wow. Salvation City. Built and fortified. How? What does it say? Yes. Built and fortified with salvation. Now, what does that word mean to you? What does the word salvation mean to you this morning? If we were to go around and we were to ask each of you, you would probably come up with a general concept. Salvation is what we have through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's good. Now let's break it down a little bit though. We are all offered salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. Salvation from what? From death, from sin. He forgives us our sins. Okay, if we confess them, He forgives us our sins. But we also know that being a part of this city of salvation, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which by the way is a spiritual kingdom right now, but someday, hallelujah, it's going to be a physical kingdom, amen? Are you looking forward to that? Are you tired? You know, it's always hard to ask the young people that because they're so charged up and so energized and so excited about life and the future. And you say, well, are you ready to go to heaven now? Oh, okay, they say yes. Well, they've already experienced life here on the earth now. We know that, okay? But you ask smaller kids that question. And you know, life is pretty good for kids. But as we get older, we become more jaded, I guess you would say. Or we understand the environment that we're living in. And we realize that it isn't perfect. Even the people that you would think have perfect lives, if they tell the truth, would tell you, yeah, I got lots of cars, lots of Rolls Royces, and I have a lot of bling, but I'm really not happy. You see? Because happiness, true happiness, true joy, true assurance comes from knowing you have salvation. That there is a future. That there is an end to this old world that we live in, and a beginning of a new life in heaven. Amen? Now, I want that to happen as soon as possible, but you know what? It's God's time frame. So, we are then in the process of being a part of a city that is built and fortified in salvation. Salvation from this old world. Salvation from death, and salvation from our old sinful nature. And like I would remind you that salvation did not come cheap. You know, people talk about grace. Grace is God's salvation to this world. It's through Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed on the cross and His resurrection, but it did not come cheap. It came through the death of Jesus, the Son of God. It's not cheap. Nothing cheap about it. You can't buy it. You can't hoard it. You can't stash it away. You can accept it. And in the process of accepting salvation through Jesus Christ, you then, as Paul says, you become a new man. The old is gone, the new has come. Don't you like that analogy? And if you've accepted Jesus into your life and you don't see a new man emerging, then you need to begin to ask yourself the question, well, what's going on here? How come I'm that old man? How come I haven't changed? How come I'm still having, you know, these same old struggles I had before? Part of the process of following Jesus Christ, part of the process of receiving His salvation, is the process of putting aside the old. Making the choice, remember, we've talked about choice, making choices. Making the conscious choice. And by the way, how many times a day do you think that choice is, Lexi? How many times do you have to make that choice every day to follow Jesus? She's got it every minute. What does the old hymn say? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. If you think you can live in this world for 1 minute without Jesus Christ, then you have slipped into one of the greatest lies that Satan ever told. We need Jesus every single moment. And if you think that you can prepare for the kingdom of heaven without the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, without Jesus in your life, then you are fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ and a relationship. The old is gone, the new. And the new only comes when you choose every single day to follow Jesus and to make choices. Boy, there are more choices now than it just, my mind sometimes just gets really like spinning. Especially when I open up my Facebook. I made the mistake of liking something along the way. I gotta figure out who or what, but I gotta go back and unlike it. So I'm a novice in this whole thing, you know. I'm 63, going on 64, and I got into the computer age a little late in life, you know. I mean, I know 2-year-old or 3-year-olds that know the computer better than I do. But here's the thing. I got all these likes coming in. Boom, boom, boom. Every morning there's a new like, I mean, a new something there that says, do you like the president? Do you not like the president? Do you like this? Do you like that? Is it okay if we go to war with Korea? Blah, 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 blah. And if I don't like it, then I get more of it. And if I like it, then I have to share it. Oh my goodness. Like, share. I was looking at it yesterday morning. I opened up my iPad and all of a sudden here's just rows and rows of things. And I'm going, do I really have to choose to like this stuff? Is this really important? And who thinks it's important? So, if you send me something to like, don't be shocked or surprised if I don't do anything with it. Because I gotta figure out now how to get rid of all that stuff. It's, my computer's going, rrr. In fact, my old Apple that I've had for 8 or 9 years, I was told that the guy said, what model is it? I couldn't even remember what model it was. It's one of the big, apples. And he says, man, he says, no wonder you can't get any downloads because it's so slow. Because that little thing sits there and spins. And it's hypnotizing. I go to sleep. I wake up an hour later, it's still spinning. I'm going, oh man. It will not receive anything anymore. So now I'm told I have to get a new computer so that I can start getting information. Because, you know, our conference is modern now. We don't use paper, I was told. We don't use paper. So everything now is on computer. So now I got to go buy a new computer. And I said, is that a tax deductible? No. Well, I can't afford a new computer. Anyway, I gotta find one. Choices, choices, choices. All day long are choices. And you know what was amazing to me? There are only a few of those messages that came in that had anything to do with my eternal salvation. And one of them was, do you love Jesus? If you do, say like and share it. Okay, that's good. But that once again becomes a mechanical thing that I can do without really thinking. Really, really thinking. Okay? I can just hit like for everything. You know? In fact, I should just sweep the whole thing and say, like. Now go away. Folks, the more mechanical we become, the more computerized we become, the more modern we become, the further away we get from the concept of listening to the Holy Spirit alone and making choices. I challenge you to do what I find myself doing more and more now. That is, we have a nice little garden, little patio on the side of our house that is sort of almost done. It's been 10 years in the making. And I sat out there last night and I looked at the stars. And I thought, wow, what an awesome God. Look at those beautiful stars. And then I saw this red light flashing going across the sky. And I thought, what was that? Not a UFO. It's a flight bound for Ontario Airport. 5 minutes later, another one. I counted 30 flights within just a few minutes I was out there flying over my house. So even though I'm in the presence of a holy God, even though I am listening and talking to the Spirit and seeking His counsel and His guidance, I'm still reminded that I'm in a material world. I live in a material world. So I ask the question, as the title of the sermon here, blessings of city living. And some of you probably sat up and said, there aren't any. First chance I get, I'm heading for the hills. I'm not going to live in a commune somewhere. You ever thought that? My wife says she wants to go live in the tundra up in Alaska. She always says that. Polar bears. I said, so you think you'll get away from the problems? No. Have you ever noticed that when you try to get away from the problems that we perceive in society and the world around us, that you're always stuck with your own brain there? Why does your brain always follow you to those places of isolation? It's still there, and it's still going over and over and over these things that, you know, these tapes that play in our heads. Folks, if we are part of God's strong city of salvation, read on here. Throw wide the gates, he says, so good and true people can enter. People with their minds set on you. Okay, there's number one. To be part of the strong city of salvation is to have your mind, number one, set on what? Salvation through Jesus Christ, the gospel. Okay? Oh yeah, there's a lot of liking, and there's a lot of sharing, and there's a lot of blah, 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 blah going on out there. Yes, even in the church, there's a lot of that going on too. But you need to have your mind set on Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ. The second. And I'm assuming that all of you are part of those people who want to enter the city. Throw open the gates. All right? And people with their minds set on you, and what happens when you have your mind set on Christ, salvation? It keeps you whole. Whole. The idea of being whole and complete. I guess I can use a term. It keeps you together. Okay. You know, you've heard someone say, I got it together. Yeah, okay. So it keeps you whole. It keeps you together, okay? You're not fragmented, in other words, and going all of different directions, okay? And they are what? Steady on their feet. So part of being in that city of salvation is that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, and he makes us whole. He completes us. One of the things that if you go to see a counselor and you're having problems and your life feels like it's going a million different directions, they're going to try to bring it all together, and they're going to try to package it so that you feel whole. You don't feel fragmented. You feel together. I'm going to suggest something, and I've discovered this in dealing with 12-step groups over the years. You know, they say that you need to seek a higher power in the 12-step groups. Originally, when they started the 12-step groups, it started two Christian young men started the 12-step program many, many years ago. And they identified that higher power as being Jesus Christ. Now they say it can be the doorknob, it can be anything that you perceive as a higher power. Wow. I can assure you folks, from years of experience, the only way to find wholeness is in Jesus Christ. The only way to find victory in your life is through Jesus Christ. Being part of the city of salvation, being connected to the Good Shepherd. So your mind needs to be set, okay, on Jesus Christ. And steady on your feet. And why? Because they keep at it and don't quit. I meet people. I have met people. I'm continually meeting people. I went and visited one in prison yesterday who have given up the fight. That takes a choice. Don't give up the fight. As confused and discouraged as you may feel, as distant as you may feel from the kingdom, do not give up going to the feet of Jesus and seeking forgiveness and salvation. Because he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. No matter where you go, to the end of this world, I will be there.
Jesus is always there. And remember I said, you know, people say, well, I found Jesus. Oh, really? Was he ever lost? You're the one that strays. Jesus is always there. He's the good shepherd. He is always standing there knocking on the door saying, hello, are you there? Listen to that voice. Open the door and let him come in. They do not quit. That's number three. Number four, once again, depend on God. And I like this because it's a repeat. Depend on God and what? Keep at it. Keep at it. There's a choice again. People say, well, what can I do? You know, if grace is this thing, you know, and I don't have to do anything and blah, blah, blah. No, you do. You have to keep choosing. You have to keep choosing to follow Jesus. You have to keep choosing to follow the Good Shepherd. You have to keep at it. Keep at it. They keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it because in the Lord God you have a sure thing. There's not very much in this world that's sure. Have you found that out? In Christ Jesus, you have a sure thing. And that thing is eternal life. It's salvation. Being a part of the city, being a part of the kingdom of God is a sure thing. Stay connected. Keep at it. Depend on God. Steady at your feet. Don't quit. Those who lived high and mighty, he knocked off their high horse. He used the city built on the hill as fill for the marshes. All the exploited and outcast people build their lives on the reclaimed land. Most of you know that I grew up in Korea right after the war. In fact, the war ended in 53 and I was born in 54. I was born in St. Helena Sanitarium and Hospital. You know what a sanitarium is? I asked somebody that the other day, so isn't that where they put crazy people? Hospitals used to be called sanitariums. But I was born there in 1954, and 4 weeks later, I believe it was, I was on board a boat headed for Korea. My parents were just on furlough when I was born. And the war ended, and I grew up watching a nation rebuild itself from point zero minus. It was flat. It was torn to pieces. Families were totally wiped out. Towns were completely destroyed. Mass graves of people who resisted communism. I remember seeing this with my own eyes and watching all these poor people with arms and legs missing. Same thing you see in Syria. Same thing you see anywhere else where there's been war. And people lost their homes, they lost their businesses, they lost their income, they lost everything. And I remember there was this one village that, in particular, that had lost, literally been wiped off the map completely. There was nothing left. And through some circumstance, I don't know how exactly, but they also lost their grant or whatever it was for the property that their village was built on. And they wandered as beggars. They wandered as people with no home, no land, no place to make a living, no place to lay their heads, until the group of them finally decided that they would begin to reclaim a piece of the ocean, a piece of land. And they began to fill in that land. It was sort of a swamp land by the ocean. And they began to bring rocks and debris and anything they could find. And they began to fill this in. And the acre after acre after acre of this land, they began to fill it in and claim it as their own. Before long, they became a successful town. They began to grow rice and they began to build houses. And it became a very successful village. Later on, they got into industry and became a very wealthy town. You know, all of us have something in our life that has the potential of destroying us, crushing the life out of us, plowing us under, devastating us, knocking us out of the game. All of us have that in our lives. But we can make a choice to reclaim that land for the Lord. We can make a choice to reclaim that land, to fill it in. It can become a city of salvation. You can live in that city. You can choose to live in that city, regardless of how devastating your life might be, regardless of where you have gone and where you have come from. God loves you. You can live in that city. All the exploited, all the outcasts, they build their lives on the reclaimed land. And that land of salvation, that city of salvation, was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that regardless of wherever you are in your life, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you might be going through, regardless of what you might go through in the future, please never give up. Claim the city of salvation. It was bought. It was bought for you and for me on the cross.